Hey, we're pretty fired up about our fall festival that's going to be coming up that Sunday, and we want to encourage all of you to wear your team colors that Sunday. I know a few of you, you're feeling a lot better about your team colors now, so I encourage you to wear them. And your kids can dress up in their little Halloween costumes on that day, and the kids are going to do some stuff during service. But after service, we're gonna have lunch for you. We're going to have inflatables. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff, as well as water baptism. Don't worry, we're always going to have some kind of cold treat. And so it's going to be an awesome, awesome Sunday. And so you go ahead and mark that down. And if you have not gone public with your faith yet through water baptism, I'm going to encourage you on that Sunday to take the next step and be water baptized. Amen. And so you can sign up for that using a connection card that is provided in the worship guides, or you can go online to our website. You can sign up there to be water baptized. So how's everybody doing today? Good. Come on. Wasn't the worship good today? Man, listen, it was fun. I got to play drums today, and so I'm all hot and sweaty and everything, and now I got to preach. And so I brought a little towel today, and so I feel better about my life now that I have that. And so anyway, I want to jump into the message today. I've been eager to preach this this week in our This Is Us series. And I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 through 6. And I'm going to read a verse of scripture that's going to upset you first thing. And then I'm going to do some work. And then later on, I'm going to really clean this up. And I'm believing that God is going to do something in your life today. And so you can follow along with me, Exodus chapter 20. Verse 2 through 6, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. If not, it's on your screen. It says, I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. And you must not have any other God but me. Now, this is God speaking to them, giving them the Ten Commandments. Okay, this is the children of Israel. They have just escaped slavery in Egypt. And now God is establishing them as a nation. And part of what he is doing as he is establishing them as a nation is he is kind of laying out, this is the law of the land. And so he's letting them know, you should not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol or any kind of an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. Now, this is the part that I think is going to be a little upsetting. It says, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. See? I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, and the entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love. Say, thank God. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, this opportunity to come together and worship as a church body, to come and hear from your word, Father. I pray that today that this is going to affect us, not just outwardly, but inwardly. That this is going to help us think the way that you do. This is going to help us change to be the people that you want us to be. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you today to come and visit this place. Come and walk every aisle and come and touch every heart in here. And help us, God, to see and believe everything that you have for us. And help us to live it out. So, Lord, I ask for your help today in delivering this message. Let me deliver it with your tone, with your words. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today we're going to tackle a topic that is pretty tough, that is affecting families and family members. I don't know if I've ever spoken directly on this. I've mentioned it a few times, but I don't know if I've ever actually spoken this as a topic in a sermon. But there has been some teaching about this that I think may have created some confusion and maybe even some condemnation for families, for family members, for people. And I also believe that it may have created some excuses for people to make some careless decisions whenever it comes to themselves, their families, and their lifestyles. And I want to start out by asking you this question. Can you think of any negative traits or habits in your life that has been in your family line for generations? Something that you notice that you are dealing with, that when you look back a generation, maybe two, maybe three, you begin to see, maybe, hold on a second, I'm not the only one, because my parents dealt with this, and my grandparents dealt with this, and I found out the other day my great-grandparents are dealing with this. And so you begin to see this throughout your family, one generation after another. And perhaps you can identify some negative patterns like alcoholism, or maybe divorce, or maybe some verbal or physical abuse. Maybe it's pornography or racism, bitterness, fear. There's a lot of different things that I think just over the course of times, if we look at it, it kind of runs through the family. And these are areas of bondage. These areas, they're things that we have learned just by the sake of where we've grown up. In the culture of our homes, in the culture of our family, and it's maybe something that's that maybe you were exposed to, or maybe something that was done to you, or something that may have happened in your family that has affected you to this day, and you always promised yourself you were not going to repeat that, and it wasn't going to happen to your kids, and you find yourself in a position to where it's happening to you now, and you don't even know how to stop it, because now your biggest fear is, what is this going to do to my kids? And so we have these things that are called generational curses. And I want to talk about that today, because there is some interesting beliefs whenever it comes to generational curses. In fact, I would say there are people in this room today who don't even believe that something like that would exist. And then there are other people to the other extreme that believe that no matter what decisions that they make, this is just kind of how our family is, and it happens to all of us. And so this is just our lot in life. And so it creates a little bit of confusion and a little bit of conflict, if you will, within our families. And so today, as we talk about these generational curses, what I want to do is start out by kind of defining it for you, kind of helping you see what is a generational curse. And then we're going to undo this a little bit, and then we're going to flip it over. It's like the cool side of the pillow at the end of the service. We're going to flip this thing over, and I want to give you some hope, because I don't believe that you have to live under the bondage of a generational curse, amen? And just because it happened three generations before you doesn't mean that it has to happen in your generation, amen? So what is a generational curse? A generational curse is a sin or a perversion. I'm going to make sure that we get a full view of this. It's a sin or a perversion that is passed from one generation to the next within the context of family. Now, this could be a sin that somebody is committing, or it could be a sin that has been committed against a person. Now, let me bring some clarity here. Whenever Jesus went to the cross to forgive sins, he didn't just die to forgive the sins that you committed, but he also died to forgive the sins that were committed against you. Now, you may not agree with forgiving people who hurt you, but I need you to know that sins that have been committed against you do affect you. They will affect you for a time until you're able to forgive and release that. And we don't see it that way, because our thought is just revenge, take the person out and I'll never have to worry about it again. But you can get all the revenge you want, and you will still wrestle with that issue until you're able to forgive. And so it's the understanding that when Jesus died, he didn't just die for what you did, but he died for also for the things that people did to you. Can I get a good amen right there? Because all of us have had some things that have happened to us. Now, oftentimes when we look at this idea of a generational curse, it sounds like it's a punishment. And that's almost how it's described. It's like punishment for the sins of a previous generation upon the next. And you may have heard people say, I'm paying for the sins of my father. Or I've heard people say like this, I'm wrestling with my daddy's devil. And so you have this whole idea of generational curses. And I can look back at my own family personally, and when I look back generationally, I can see that alcoholism is very dominant. I can see it generations before me. And so I just have to, first of all, just use a little bit of common sense. Can I insert that right here? Be spiritual, but have some common sense too. And so common sense would tell me, if my great-grandfather and my grandfather and my daddy struggled with this, this must be some kind of strong influence in my family. So ding dong, I have to be aware that this is going to affect me as well. And so I may want to make a choice that says, don't participate in that. And if I don't participate in it, that curse can no longer affect me. Are you grabbing this today? I mean, it really, can I just drop a bomb on you? It really is that simple. But it is really that hard. Because there at the same time that it sounds that simple, there are some tendencies that we have, some things that we've picked up by the way that we were raised and the circle that we grew up in and all the things that we were exposed to that put us in a place to where we are looking for something to help us cope with our life, with our insufficiencies, with our struggles, with all of these different discouragements that we're looking for something to help us to cope with it. And a lot of times we take the path of least resistance. Because the path of least resistance appears to promise us that we are going to find relief there. But listen, I need you to know that relief is not what we're looking for. Healing is what we're looking for. Wholeness is what we're looking for. There's a lot of people who are finding relief, but it's just another bondage that they're stepping into. They step out of one bondage and find a new one to make up for what they left. And so a lot of people are just jumping from one thing to the next. I want you to know that God, He promises that we can live in freedom, amen? He promises that we can live in healing and in wholeness. And so when we look at our families, when we look at all this, we got to be able to identify what are some of the things in our families that could be a stronghold, that can have an effect on me. I mentioned alcoholism. When I look at my family, I have uncles that have gone to prison, have multiple DUIs. I have cousins who are just all messed up on alcohol. And I have to be aware that, hey, this runs in my family. And can I tell you, my dad, I can remember when my dad was struggling with it and God set him free. My dad just set a standard in our home that, like for us, and he had four boys, he said, you will never drink. You will just never drink. And there are people in here that will argue with me all day about it. And you can do whatever you want, but I'm not going to do it because I understand the effect that it could have on me because I look at my family and see what's happened to them. How many of you can believe God for some common sense? Amen? I mean, can we just have a little bit common sense? And so I've never participated in that ever in my life because I know what it can do for me. And I think we have to be aware of those kinds of things in our own lives. Now, there are other struggles that I believe that people have, other things, other patterns that maybe have been in our families. Now, some of us have dealt with things like abandonment. Maybe one of your parents have left whenever you were young. Maybe there was a divorce in your family. And, you know, a lot of times when it comes to abandonment, and I know firsthand from my wife, Cynthia, just some of the things that she's went through with her family, it does put you in a position to where you feel like you got to be strong, not just for you, but for everybody. And it puts you in a position, really, where you think you have to do everything for yourself. And can you see how that sense of independence could be helpful, but it also could be hurtful? I need us to be able to see these things because there are things that are going on in your family and in our ways of dealing with this stuff that we may not realize is actually not working well for us. But we're putting on our Superman suit every day and we're trying to face this stuff. And really, God doesn't want you to fight it. He wants you to fall down on your knees and bow down to Him and let Him fight it for you. See, I'm helping somebody today. I can just sense it. And so as we begin to think about all these different patterns, abandonment, maybe it was some adultery in your family. Maybe there was history of racism and divorce, some abuse, some bitterness, some unforgiveness. I mean, I'm mentioning these just to get you to think of the possibilities of what could be running through your family and through your life. And I think about how we grow up, listen to me, how we grow up in this environment, in this culture. And without realizing it, watch this, these things become our default. Without realizing it. We didn't even realize it was happening to us, but it becomes our default. It becomes our way of thinking. It becomes kind of like our filter. There is this stereotype that we create about families. There's a stereotype we create about people. And one of the things that I know just from growing up, like let's say Louisiana, and growing up in Louisiana, there's a party culture that is there. Now, I know that you would consider, you know, here to be a party culture, but I need you to know it's a lot looser in Louisiana. It says big-time party culture, and to the point, watch this, and I want to give you examples of how this works. It's such a party culture that you have fathers introducing their sons to alcohol at the deer camp, at the crawfish bowl, at the tailgate party when they're 15 and 16 years old. Now, alcoholism is rampant in this area. And can you see how generationally, because it's almost like a rite of passage from a boy becoming a man, can you see how something like that is actually fueling this very thing and creating more and more? It's like this thing is multiplying from one generation to the next, because it appears to be a rite of passage from one generation to the next. But whenever you have something that's looming over you, like alcoholism, you have to be aware that's not a good idea. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's just not the best idea to be introducing that. And I'm not saying that to pick on them, because I'm from there and I understand what it's all about. But I share that because these are the things that are subtle. They're subtle, and it doesn't appear, because it sounds like daddy is really doing a good job introducing his son into manhood, but really he doesn't realize that he's setting him back as well. Because as he's introducing him into manhood, he's automatically putting an anchor on him. And these are the little things that I believe that are working on us in our families, that's causing some other behaviors on the other side, some other reactions that we're having, that we think if we could just get all these reactions calmed down, that all of our families are going to be great. We're never going to have another problem if we would just talk positively all the time. And we would just use our words and never say no. We just find another way to say yes. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why I'm going up in my tone, but it just feels like that's what we do, to not be negative. So we could try to be positive. And we've almost deceived ourselves into believing that if we are just super positive, that nothing is wrong. And sometimes I think we just psych ourselves out thinking that if we're positive enough, nothing bad really exists. But I need you to know there are some things lurking under the surface, and you may not see it in you, but when you start seeing your kids wrestling with some of the things that you wrestle with, that's where your eyes start to open. Whenever they start turning 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, the next thing you know, they're dealing with some stuff, and you're like, uh-oh. This is some stuff that I dealt with. And how in the world are they still going through this? And some of you, you know it, because you're still fighting it. You're still fighting with stuff that your parents were fighting with, that they were dealing with, that was never, ever defeated. But I need you to know, church, listen to me, that all of that stuff can be defeated. All of that stuff can be overcome, and you can live free. Do you believe it today? You can live free. Can overcome these things. So there's the possibility that some of you, many of you, may have been fighting your family's demons. And you may have even said that our family is cursed in this area. I've counseled people with their marriages, and I've heard people say this: our family is just cursed when it comes to marriage. We all get divorced. My daddy divorced, my brother and his wife divorced. My cousin's divorced, my great-grandpa divorced, everybody just divorces. And so that leads us to, watch this, as we're raising our kids, to put a little tone on how we teach them about marriage. And instead of teaching marriage as something that is awesome and something that is incredible, we have to teach them now everything that you have to be aware of and all this stuff. When we pollute the purity, listen to what I'm saying, we pollute the purity of something that God created because of our experience. And that can happen with marriage, and that can happen with raising kids. That can happen with just about anything. Because of our experience, we have a tendency to pollute it. And so we explain to people. And so you hear, I hate it whenever I hear guys and they start talking about marriage and they start talking about the ball and chain and all that stuff. And if you're a dude in here and you're talking about marriage like that, can I just take a step forward and be a pastor and say, stop doing that. Amen? Come on, let me hear some dudes say amen. Stop doing that. You're not helping your marriage at all. I don't mean to be so blunt, but at some point, somebody's got to confront a dude and say, bro, stop it. Amen? Can I say that not all husbands are losers? And just because you got that one friend that you work with and her husband is a loser, doesn't mean that your husband's a loser because he's tired at the end of the day. Come on, that's a good clapping point right there. Come on, somebody. That's good preaching. Lost in my notes. See, I got off right there. So here's what I want you to know about generational curses, okay? These are spiritual, listen to what I said here. So spiritual strongholds. See, Satan looks for an area to work in our family. Maybe you don't believe in Satan and all that stuff, but he is for real, okay? There is a devil, And he doesn't want you to make it. He doesn't want you to succeed. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And so you have to understand that there is not just people that you're dealing with, but there is a true enemy, Satan himself, that is working against you. And he's trying to find a way into your family to work, okay? Because he doesn't just want you. He wants your entire family, because if he gets your family, watch this, he gets your influence. He gets your influence, he gets your purpose. God has a purpose for your family. God has a, watch this, let me say it like this, a kingdom purpose for you and your family. And if the enemy can throw something in your family to get you distracted, you will spend all your time trying to fix something rather than do something for God. And there's a lot of people, listen to me, who are called by God, even to ministry. I'm talking like to lead churches and to lead missions and all these different things, that are not able to do it because they're stuck in a struggle in their family, trying to fix us, trying to fix the family, trying to get it right, that they cannot do what God has called them to do. And so they wrestle with twice as much tension because they have this call that God has on their life that they really know that they need to do, but at the same time, they have the call to their family and they're torn between the two. And most of the time, it leaves them paralyzed, stuck, because they can't go either way. But I want you to know today that just like there is an enemy trying to destroy you, trying to destroy your family, there is a God who is for you, amen? And there is a God who is for your family. In fact, God has already written the plans out for your life. He's already written the plans out for your family. It's that we're not looking at the plans, we're looking at the problems. And what if we overcame these things? What if we overcame these struggles? What if your generation was the last generation that dealt with these generational curses? What if it was your generation that think about your kids as they grow. They don't have to wrestle with this stuff anymore because mom and dad took care of business. And so now my kids are walking in. Oh, they have to be aware that there is a curse, but they don't have to participate in it. They don't have to be involved in it because mom and dad took care of business. And I just wonder if there's any people here that says, you know what, in my generation, I want to take care of business because it stops right here. Is there anybody here today that said that's me? So watch this. You might want to write this down. A generational curse is only as effective as your participation in it. It's only as effective as your... Now, watch this. Let's go back to the alcohol thing, okay? Let me go to college. So I'm in college, and I'll never forget when I was in Tiger Band at LSU, and we were at band practice one day, and this is like towards the end of the summer, and one of the guys asked me if I wanted to go to the library. And I thought this guy had lost his mind, because who goes to the library in the middle of summer? That was my thing. I know people are smarter than me. Y'all be smart, okay? I wasn't thinking of going to the library. I was thinking of lunch. And they said, hey, you want to go to the library? I was like, I ain't going to the library. That's stupid. I didn't know what it was. I'm serious. I didn't realize that was actually a bar. And I told the guy that. I was like, man, that's stupid. And really, it worked for me because I wasn't going to go anyway, but the temptation was always there. There was always an open door. Can I tell you, there was always a container full of alcohol, easily accessible for me. It was always right there. And it would have been so easy just to do what everybody in college does, which, by the way, not everybody in college does it. That's just what we say. And watch this. So we just accept it. When my kids go to college, because that's what everybody does, that's what my kids are going to do. Not true. They don't have to. Thankfully, I chose not to. I didn't participate in it. Did I feel left out? At times, I did, but I knew the feelings of what it was like to see my dad struggle with this. And I didn't want that for me, and I didn't want that for my kids. I didn't want that in my life anymore. And so it was easier to say no to something that I knew would destroy my life, because I understood generationally how it's working. So it empowered me, actually, to be able to say no, that it stops right here. It's not coming with me. Are you grabbing this today? And so you have to understand that the generational curses, these things that are in your family, they're only as effective as your participation in it. And so if we just choose not to participate in it, guess what? We're breaking it. But as soon as you open the door, all the air conditioner in the house leaks out. And you let the hot air in. And this is what happens. We make decisions that open doors. And when the door is open, things come in. And there's a lot of us that have opened doors into our own lives personally, which means it opened doors into our family. And listen, let me say this. This isn't just for mom and dad, but this is for son and daughter too. Because when you as a son or you as a daughter open the door to that thing, to that temptation, to that sin, you are allowing that enemy access to your family. Leave your door on your car wide open tonight. Leave the doors on your house open. Don't lock them. Just leave it wide open and go to bed. Who would do that? We wouldn't do it. Why? Because we know that there is a possibility if I leave the door open, someone's going to come in. Someone's going to steal something. Someone's going to do something to us. And so what do? We close the door and we lock it. And some of you even punched a little code in, you have an alarm. Think of this. And so if we do this with our family on the outside, why wouldn't we do this on the inside, internally, where we're saying, you know what? I'm closing the door on this, and this is not going to come into our house any longer. We're not participating in this. And sometimes it just takes somebody in the family to say, hey, we're not participating in this anymore. Amen. Are you following this today? It takes somebody with some boldness to stand up, even when they got teenage kids, to say, we're not participating in this anymore. Well, Pastor Wade, I don't want to fight with the kids. Listen, you're not fighting with them, you're fighting for them. Come on, you're fighting for them. And if it means we got to argue, I will argue with you if it means our family is going to win. Bring it on, sucker. So watch this. There are generational curses. But there are also, watch this, generational practices. There are generational curses, but there are also generational practices. Now, many times people think they're dealing with generational curses, when in reality they're dealing with generational practices that have become generational patterns. Okay? It's just practices, things that are practiced from one generation to the next that have become patterns, behavioral patterns. Watch this, profanity. Oh, you didn't know we would come and talk about this today. Profanity, negativity, smoking, quitting, lying, laziness, authority issues, anger issues, undisciplined behavior from childhood. I know, like in the room right now, it's heavy. And some of y'all are like, I did not come to church for this today. So let me ask you this. So do we just leave this alone and let it continue to work in our families so that we can feel good when we leave here today? Like that's the stuff. Like if we don't talk about it, if we don't deal with it, this is the stuff that lives on and on in our families. Now, I'm going to tell you this story. When I was a kid, this is a very vivid memory. I was with my grandfather and we were building fence. We had cattle. And so there was a lot of fence to be built, and we were at this one fence post, and there's this barbed wire that we were pulling, stretching tight so that it can be nailed, stapled to the fence post. And I was there helping my grandfather, and he was pulling on the wire with a crowbar, pulling it tight, and he was trying to hammer a nail, all of that stuff, with one hand. And so I'm trying to help him and everything. Well, the wire slipped out from the crowbar, and it cut him. Now, my family has been known for some colorful language and some combinations of profanity that would just blow your mind. I'm serious. There were times where I just had to ask them, like, does that even make sense? Because it makes absolutely no sense at all. And in that day, I heard my grandfather say something I've never heard before. Instead of using all the common profane words that are out there, he called this crowbar that failed him a Ford product. Now, you know the debate between Chevrolet and Ford. And I'm a Chevy guy, just to let you know. And some of you are like, I'm a Toyota person. Well, good for you, okay? Good for you. And I never forgot that. And as I would be around him more, anytime something bad would happen to him that would hurt him, he would call it a Ford product. I know, it's hilarious. Well, then I would be around my dad. And I would hear my dad do the same thing. And it was hilarious. I thought, that is just ridiculous. I'm never going to do that. There's a few guys that have been around me when things were troubling a little bit and stressful and aggravating me and not working right. And don't you know that without even trying, what came out of my mouth? No thoughts. Not even trying. I would just call it a Ford product. You Ford product. Now, I know it's funny. It's funny. And I didn't even think about it until one day when my son, who's turning 16 years old, was in the same position, and he called that thing a Ford product. Now, where did he get that from? Think of this. Now, this is not a generational curse, people. That is not a generational curse. That is a generational practice that has become a pattern. And we're not doing a good job breaking it at all. Because I can tell you this, if I'm tearing something down today and it doesn't go right, I'm not going to drop words like other people would drop. I have a different F-bomb that I'm dropping, and it's Ford. I don't even know what's going on. And if you drive a Ford, I'm not mad at you. It's just my choice for just being mad at something. It's my choice of words. But it's become a pattern in my family. It's a generational pattern because I didn't come up with it. My dad didn't come up with it. My grandfather came up with it. And this thing is going 4 generations strong. Now, I know that's a funny example, but there are patterns in our families that is 3, 4, 5 generations strong that is still going today, and it's a lot more serious than Ford products. It's some real stuff that is affecting you. It's affecting our everyday lives, and we don't realize that it is creating a lot of the issues within our families, within our marriages, between moms and dads, between sons and fathers and daughters and mothers. It's affecting all of our families, and there's some generational practices and some generational patterns. Things like sarcasm, negativity. Think about this. It's in our families, and we're not really working on it because it's not even in our thoughts. Like, I promise you, when I started writing this message, I'm really trying to think of some things like to relay to you that can help you to see possibly a good example. And when I really started thinking about this whole Ford thing, it was like, yeah. This is for real. Like, it has a grip on our family. We got to break this pattern. I don't know what I'm going to say yet, but I got to say something different. Oh, man, you know? Fiddlesticks. So I told you these generational curses are spiritual. But these generational patterns are practical. And it's things that we don't really think are a big deal. But they are. Let me mess with some people in here today a little more. One of the topics that people hate to hear the preacher talk about at church is movies. See how quiet it got in here? Nobody's jumping up. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? But when you have a family that doesn't have a filter on what they're watching, and just watch anything with any kind of language, with any kind of content, and then the kid's 13, 14, 15 years old, and you don't think it's a big deal, and next thing you know, they're being exposed to different things that you don't think really has an effect on them. It's basically introduction to dysfunction. Exposing them to perversion. In the music, I'm not anti-music. I love music. I really do. But I think we got to have some discernment with what we're allowing into our lives that is going to feed us because it's going to have an effect on our families. Listen, I'm not trying to throw rules at you. What I'm trying to throw at us is some discernment. Are you grabbing this? See, like when I was growing up, we couldn't watch anything that was rated R. That's how my family rolled. You didn't listen to secular music. Now, you may not think, oh, that's just too hard. I thank God for it now. I didn't like it then. I was ready to go toe-to-toe with my dad. I wouldn't because I was scared of him. But those things have influence in our lives. And you say, no, it doesn't have influence. If you're getting mad at me about saying it, it has influence. It really does. Any of the things that were mentioned, if you're beginning to get mad about it when it's mentioned to you, it has influence in your life. And so for us, it's just being a little bit smart. Can we just be a little bit smart and realize that just because it's entertaining doesn't mean that it's godly and that it's good? Amen? I know, not a lot of clapping and stuff today. Not a lot of excitement. That was last week. Today it's like, are you serious? You're really going to preach on this? I am, because there are so many families that are dealing with junk and are dealing with stuff, and they think it's all this, and let's go counsel everything. And some of the counseling you need is just straight up, turn it off. Amen? It's just straight up. And can I say this? You can't counsel the devil out of your family. You cannot. It has to be driven out. And how are you going to drive it out? That means I've got to get spiritual. But in my getting spiritual, I can't forget to also be practical. So pray the devil away, but turn the crazy movies off. Turn the crazy music off. Are you grabbing this today? Say better things. Like, be spiritual and ask for God's help, but also be practical and make good decisions with it. And that way, we're not just saying, the devil made me do it every time. It's a generational curse. It's just kind of what happens in our family. It's just what we do. It's just, we were doomed from the beginning. You were not doomed from the beginning. You were doomed from the day that you made the decision to participate, come on, in that practice. You were doomed the day you made the decision to participate in that thing that has been a pattern in your family. Are y'all grabbing this today? Are we helping anybody? And so for you, I need to give you some hope today and let you know that just because it's been around and just because your family's been doing this all the time, it doesn't mean that this is how it always has to be. And honestly, this is where we look at our families and say, hey, this is just where we are. So watch this. This is us. But God has a better this is us for you. Amen? God has a better, this is us. So let's flip the pillow. Let's go to the cool side of the pillow. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19 through 22. Because some of y'all are looking like you're mad at me right now. So now I got to preach at you. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19 through 22. What, you ask? Doesn't the child pay for the parent's sins? And I'm fixing to set some mamas and daddies free here today. Doesn't the child pay for the parent's sin? Watch this. No! On three, I want to hear you say no. One, two, three. No. Look at your kid right now on the count of three and tell him no. One, two, three. No. See, that was weak. Don't look at your parents and tell them no. You tell them yes. He says, does the child pay for the parent's sin? No, for if the child does what is just and right and keeps my decrees, that child will surely live. The person who sins is the one who will die. In other words, the person who does the wrongdoing is the one who has to pay for it. This is good. The child will not be punished for the parent's sin. And watch this. And the parent will not be punished for the child's sins. See, there are parents who are struggling thinking that they are terrible parents because your kid is 28 years old and made a decision to participate in something that you told them all along was wrong. And now they're participating in it and you're just feeling like we failed as parents. You didn't fail. You told them they were wrong. You can't control your kids. That's good preaching right there. Can't control them. You cannot control them. And so there are a lot of moms and dads that just feel like they're not good parents because their kids did something they told them not to do. But you told them over and over not to do it. Can I say, you're a great parent. Look, I'm almost coming off the stage to try to tell you that. When you're teaching them right and wrong constantly, you're a fantastic parent. And if they choose to do it, it doesn't mean that you're terrible. It just means your kid made a decision that you didn't approve of, and now you got to discipline them. Amen? Now watch this. because I don't want to just like come at the kids, because sometimes kids make really good decisions and parents make terrible decisions. Even as adults, come on, and you got parents, I cannot understand how I can go to a restaurant that has a bar in it and mom and dad is getting wasted while the kids are running around. Woo! Welcome to Emerge Church. Let's go ahead and just sweep that under the rug a little bit and not talk about that. Now let's talk about it. Because if they are 5 and 6 years old and they see you doing it, they think this is just what we do. Are you grabbing this? You say, well, I didn't teach them that. They don't always do what we say, they do what we do. Are you hearing this today? They're doing what we're doing. But this guy right here in Ezekiel, he's trying to help us to see. He's like, listen, you have to own your own crazy. You have to own your own sins. And we can't blame grandpa and grandma and mama and papa and gramps and granny and all them people, whatever you call them. You can't blame them because of the decisions that you made in your life. You have to be aware of the curses and the things that run through your family, but we also have to be aware of our own decisions. And as parents, what are we trying to do? We're trying to make our kids aware of their decisions as well, because as your decisions go, also goes your future. Are you hearing this? So the future of your family, the future of your marriage, the future of you raising kids, the future of your relationship with your mom and your dad and your siblings is all dependent on what you are choosing to do about it, like right now. And if we make good choices right now and choose to do the right things, the God things, the forgiving, and making the good decisions, I believe we're going to see our families thrive. We're going to see our families succeed. But what about when you got somebody in your family that just doesn't just choose to make the right decision? We can't control what other people do. Doesn't mean that you got to get crazy just because they are. Can you hear that? Just because you're going to Thanksgiving in a few weeks and your sister is there and you ain't seen her in 10 years and she's got a little crazy that comes out when she's together with family, doesn't mean that you got to get crazy with her. Come on, somebody. You just have to say, I'm not going to do it. Because watch this. Listen to me. Because if you get crazy with them, on the way home, your kids are going to say something like this. Boy, oh, Aunt Sally, she's crazy, ain't she, Mama? Every time we get together as a family, y'all always fighting. They always, and so now your kids start forming that opinion that you have about that person, and they don't even know them like that. See what I'm saying? Like, these are the things, these are the patterns, these are the behaviors that are being taught. All of these different things in all these areas of our family is messing with us, and we are spending a lot of time trying to manage symptoms. And here's why. Because that's what everybody sees. And we don't want no one to think that we ain't doing it right. There are moms here. Listen to me, moms. Under so much pressure, because you don't want anybody to think anything about your kids. So you're trying to make sure everything is right. You're doing your homework for them, doing their homework for them. Think of that. Like, these are the little things that are happening that we think, oh, we're just taking care of business, that down the road winds up turning around and messing with us. Little things. The person who sins is the one who would die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sin. The parent will not be punished for the child's sin. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. But if wicked people turn away from all their sins, listen to this. If wicked people, if people have been doing wrong, turn away from all their sins and begin to obey my decrees and do what is just and right, they will surely live and not die. Watch this. All their past sins will be forgotten, and they will live because of the righteous things they have done. So God isn't punishing you for a previous generation's sins. He's not. But that doesn't mean that the previous generation's sins does not have an effect on our families. Because it does. There are kids that are sitting here today that are affected because of things that happened one generation before them. And that generation before them is affected by things that happened before them. There are people sitting in this room today that didn't have a good father. and it's affected so many areas of your life. Insecurity thriving in women because there wasn't a father there to continually bring affirmation to the daughter. There are sons that are living for other people's approval because the father never brought the affirmation that the son needed. And so he looked for it in other places to try to find acceptance, to try to find approval, and trying to prove that he is good enough and strong enough just like everybody else. And because of that, that's put us in vulnerable positions to make decisions to do crazy things to impress people, to prove that we are just as good as everyone else, even though we have something that is missing in our lives. Come on, somebody. And so you're saying, so what do I do? Because maybe you grew up in that situation. I need you to know this, that you may have not had what you need in that father, that earthly father, but you do have everything that you need in your heavenly father. And that's why the relationship with God is so key in all of this, because as your relationship with God goes, so will the relationships in your family go. And so if you're close to God, you're going to experience the peace, the love, the healing, and all the things that your family needs. And sometimes, whether you're a mom, dad, husband, wife, son, daughter, brother, sister, you have to realize that perhaps God wants to deliver the love and the forgiveness and the healing in the family through someone like you. You might be a son that's 16 in here today and say, how can God do something in my family? He can do something in you. And once he begins doing something in you, he's working in your family. It's a matter of this. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We've been opening the door to all the crazy. Why don't we open the door when he stands and knocks and allow him to come in? And when he comes in, he brings the healing. He brings the peace. Come on. He brings the redemption. He brings the change. He brings the hope. He brings the family back together again. Come on, somebody. This is so good. Open the door. He's knocking today. Open the door. He's knocking today. I wish somebody would open the door and let him in. He's knocking. He's knocking. Oh, I got too much to do this weekend. Too much going on, Pastor Wade. We got a lot going on in our lives right now. We can't get involved in all that stuff. He's knocking. Come on, he's knocking. Oh, we got a lot planned. He's knocking. Oh, we can't right now. We got to get the kids on track. He's knocking. I wonder if somebody would open the door and let him in. He's knocking. He's knocking on the front door, and all the while we got the back door wide open. And we've been sleeping with it open. And the enemy's been coming in and messing with our kids, messing with our wives, messing with our husbands, messing with our family, and trying to destroy it. And the whole time, God's knocking. He's saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. We say, well, I got a lot going on, and once I get all this straight, I'll open the door. Can I tell you, you can't get it straight. You can't cool the house off as long as you got the back door open all the time. What if the air conditioned man's knocking on the front door to come fix the air, but you got the back door open all the time? I'm just talking common sense today. He's knocking. He's not punishing you for your children's sins. So let me finish here. Romans 5:19. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. This past Easter, I told you the story of my dad. When my dad made the decision to surrender his life to Christ, I want you to hear this. My dad didn't go to church and say, you know what, I need to go to church to fix my drinking problem. He didn't go to church to say, I need to fix my marriage. This is what he did. He went to church because we kept asking him to go. And that day, he gave his life to Jesus. There was no plans to quit drinking. I need you to hear this. Somebody's got to hear this today. Because many people see church as a clinic that fixes the wrong stuff instead of introducing you to the right one. Did you hear what I said? We see church as a clinic that fixes the wrong stuff instead of the people, the place that introduces you to the right one. And when my dad surrendered his life to Jesus, listen to me, his obedience to God is what broke the curse in the family. It was his obedience to God. And that's why it's been over 30 years since he's ever participated in that sin and that curse. And that's why it broke in our family, and myself or any of my brothers on my side of the family, none of us have ever wrestled with our daddy's devil. Why? Because he surrendered his life to God. Notice it wasn't, well, I got to quit drinking to better my family. No, it was, I've got to surrender my life to God. That was the change. And when he surrendered his life to God, his language changed. When he surrendered his life to God, the drinking stopped. When he surrendered his life to God, he wanted to be a dad now. He wanted to spend time with his kids. It was the relationship with God that brought the change in his life. It was a decision. So three action steps to a new this is us, to a new family. Here it is. The first one is this. It's a decision. And here's this. This is the decision. This curse, this pattern, this practice stops with me. Are you hearing this? This practice, this pattern, this curse stops with me. My son's probably back there saying, this Ford thing stops with me. Thank you. Pray for your daddy. It starts with a decision. But watch this, because people are going to be inspired today to make a decision. But then we got to live with it. When you have to live with your decisions, that's where it becomes tough. So the second thing, this next action step to a new this is us, is dedication. And here's the dedication. I will commit to God's ways, watch this, over our family's ways. See, our family way was, I'm going to find them and tell them something. Are y'all hearing this? That's the family way. God's way is, hold up. Think about it. Pray about it. Because you might wind up putting your foot in your mouth. You might wind up saying something you didn't need to say. See, I'm going to put God's way of doing this over our way. In other words, I got to change the way I've been doing this. So watch this. It's not just stopping something. Because you've said this over and over. I got to stop doing that. Got to stop. We got to stop doing that. It's not just stopping something, but it's also starting something. A lot of people stop stuff, but they never start new practices. And so what happens when they don't know what to do? They revert back to their default ways. We have to start new practices. Watch this. New ways of communicating with our families. New ways of communicating with our kids, with our spouses, with our brothers and sisters. It's new ways of doing it. And I believe if we begin to find new ways and keep practicing it, now that becomes the norm. And so now I'm not practicing this thing that's been in our family forever. Oh, this is what they always blow up whenever that happens. Well, I'm not blowing up anymore. Why? Because I found a new practice. And here's the last one is determination. And this is what it means. I'm determined to live with godly conviction rather than just convenience. I'm determined to live with some godly convictions rather than just doing what is convenient for me. See, having a great family, let me back this up a little bit. Being a great you, it takes work. It doesn't come natural. You know what comes natural? Sin. Sin comes natural. But doing the God things is going to take some determination. So watch this. This is what that means. I'm not just doing this for a quick fix. This is us now. I need you to hear this word I'm about to drop on you. This is us now. This is our new legacy. I'm trading a curse on our family for a legacy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I have a legacy now where my kids are looking and they're not trying to not be something crazy to our family is, but they're looking at something saying, this is who we're going to be. This, I'm going to marry somebody who's like my daddy. Come on, I want to hear the daughters be able to say something like that. I want to marry someone who's like my mom, someone who's dedicated, someone who works hard. Come on, these are the kinds of things, not somebody who says, I can't stand my family. I don't like my mom and dad. They never. I'm talking about somebody in the context of our family saying, you know what? we are living for God. We are fulfilling God's purposes. We're laughing. We're enjoying this life together. Anybody with me? Anybody with me today? Who wants some legacy in their family instead of a bunch of problems, a bunch of patterns and curses and stuff? How about some legacy? Something that the kids look back and say, I got honorable parents. And honoring mom and dad isn't hard because they lived honorable. Are you hearing me today? That's the kind of stuff. And I believe this, regardless of where you came from, God could turn it around. Because if you looked at my family tree, you would say, oh my goodness, that's some crazy people on that family tree. But I need you to know that Jesus, he got up on a tree and it was a cross. Come on somebody, to come and intervene in the crazy tree that you grew up in and the crazy decision stuff that your family's been doing. Jesus made a decision to get on the cross to bring hope and healing and change. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Close your eyes. We've been making reference today to making a decision. And you have to know that the change starts with you. And this isn't just for your family. This is for you. See, we're not just changing because the kids need us to. We're not just trying to keep the marriage together for the kids. You need it together. We're not just trying to get a good relationship so that my kids think that I'm not a good mama. We're doing it because we want a good relationship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so it comes down to a decision. And that decision is a relationship with Jesus. And your relationship with God is so important. And maybe you're here today and you do not have a relationship with God. Maybe you have settled for religion, which is just simply rules. And you've been trying to follow every rule, but every rule is just adding more stress and making you angry. And make you feel guilty and shameful. I'm talking about a relationship with God where God's willing to help. And God's able to help you become the person he wants you to be. But it starts with you deciding, I'm not living like this anymore. I'm trading the way I live for the way that God has intended for me to live. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, will you pray for me? I need to surrender my life to God and allow him to change my life completely. If that's you, real quick, would you slip a hand up this morning and say, hey, will you pray for me? That's me. Anyone else in here this morning say, hey, I'm away from God. I need this relationship with Jesus that you're talking about. Today is my day of new beginning. It's a fresh start. Anyone else? It's awesome. It's awesome. Why don't you look up at me? This morning, we're going to pray this prayer all together. Every Sunday, we do this. Most incredible time of our service. And I want to ask you to just simply repeat this prayer after me. This is just a start. That's all this is. This is just a kickstart for you making that decision, saying, God, I'm ready to begin. Will you repeat this prayer after me out loud? Say, Dear Lord, thank you for loving me. You're a good father. And you gave your son for me. And he paid the price for all of my sins, for the sins of my family, the sins that were committed against me. You paid for it all so that I could live free. So today I make a decision to surrender my life completely to you. I choose to follow your ways instead of my own ways, instead of the way my family has always gone. I want your plans for my life. I want your best for my life. So, Lord, today save me, forgive me, and make me a brand new person. I'm all yours, Lord, and I thank you for your good plans for my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's put our hands together. Several hands were up today. Listen, if you raised your hand this morning for that, I'm going to ask you to do something. Grab that connection card in that worship guide. Fill it out. Let us know you made that decision. You could drop it off at our Connect desk right on the other side of that black curtain. This week, we want to follow up with you. Before you go, though, I want to pray. Because there are some of you that are dealing with some generational stuff. And you know it's been alive and well in your family. And I told you there's a part of this that is practical, but there's a part of this that is spiritual. And this morning in my heart, I really believe that there are some things that are going to be broken off of your life. And I want to ask you to take a step today. If you're wrestling with some things, maybe there's been some generational things in your family. You say, Pastor Wade, it stops with me. It stops in my generation. It's not going any further than this. I want you to stand this morning because I want to pray with you. I want to pray over you this morning. Come on, and we talked about a lot of things today, but you know that there are some generational curses that has been working in your family. You say, you know what? I'm trading the curse for the legacy. Come on, he's knocking today, and I'm opening the door. The enemy's been trying to come in and mess with my family. Nah, not on my watch. Today, I'm making a God decision. Anyone else, I'm going to pray over you this morning. Come on, he's knocking. He's knocking. Why don't you lift your hands, those of you who are standing, those of you who are seated, just reach your hand towards them and pray for them this morning. Father, I thank you that your word says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, today, every person standing here is making a conscious decision. And they're saying that these generational curses are ending right here. I'm thinking of things like poverty. I'm thinking of things like pornography. Things that have been messing around in our minds. Things that have been carried around. Effects of abandonment and abuse that have been carried from one generation to another. Guilt that has been carried from one generation. Negativity. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, and thank you that on the cross, every one of these curses were broken. And that we don't have to participate in them any longer. And Lord, this day I speak freedom over every one of them. I speak freedom to the family. I speak freedom to the individual. And thank you now, Lord, that the curse is being broken now in Jesus' name. And I speak freedom, God. I speak hope. I speak legacy over every family in this room today. Come on, why don't you all stand with me this morning? All of you, I speak legacy over these families. Come on, lift your hands up. People, I speak legacy over these families today, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see success in these homes, Father. We'll see relationships restored. We'll see curses and bondages broken, Father, and that the kids of the next generation won't have to deal with their daddy's devil, but they will walk in the freedom, God, that you have given. And so, Lord, today I pray that your spirit, as it's poured out, will set captives free. So, Lord, today I declare it. I declare legacy. Come on, I want you to speak this. I declare legacy over my family. Come on, say it out loud. I declare legacy over. You say, I'm single. Declare it over your family anyway. You'll have one soon. I declare legacy. I declare legacy, a godly legacy over every family here today.